Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10. Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the day, in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You this morning for the Word of God. We thank You for this time, and we ask You to help us this morning that we might be an able minister of the Word of God, that You speak to our hearts. And Father, just minister this morning according to the need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We I want to preach this morning on, amen, begin to preach. We won't finish this morning, but we want to preach on the whole armor of God. Amen, the whole armor of God. And now, Paul is here and he's speaking to Ephesus and to those Christians that are in Ephesus. And like many other cities that he visited, Ephesus was an urban metropolis and it was teeming with life. Not only was it teeming with life, but it was teeming with laughter and with vice. And amen. Sounds a lot like our world. Amen. Teeming with vice. Amen. It's on every corner. Amen. At every stop. Ephesus, by different accounts, but seems to be that there was about 250,000 people that called Ephesus home. Amen. For us folks that come to old Mount Zion, that's a pretty good sized place. 250,000 people. Amen. Calls it home. Amen. There's somewhere around 18,000 in our whole county. Amen. From one end to the other, top to bottom, side to side. So 250,000 people called Ephesus home. And it was situated at a wide mouth of a prosperous harbor in the city. It was attractive for trade. And there was trade that took place there from every corner of the empire. Everything was traded and trafficked in Ephesus. Goods as well as humanity trafficked there. There in Ephesus, they were under the shadow of the much vaunted temple of Artemis, the goddess of Ephesus, and arguably the goddess of all of Asia. It was a world. It was a world of refinement. And a world of low moral standard. You see, this thing of low moral standard and of vice hadn't just started. They had to deal with it, and here it was where Paul was encouraging a small group, a little group of folks, a little group of Christians. He said, put on the whole armor of God. In the midst of this big city, amen, where the people did not know God, it was full of vice, and people were, by their own thoughts and standards, they were, for the most part, enjoying life. Didn't have time for God. But God had saved some folks there in Ephesus. Amen. He planted a little church right there in the midst of that 250,000 people. And Paul was encouraging them here. And he was telling them to put on the whole armor of God. And he begins by addressing them as brethren. Brethren. Amen. A brother. The word speaks to us about union, about being together. And so Paul was here. He was talking to his brothers and sisters in arms. I mean, they were connected. What connected them? Jesus did. Amen. They had been saved by the grace of God. And they were brothers and sisters in Christ. And so he addressed them as such, and he spoke to them, amen, as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And amen, that leads us into my first question, and a most important question it is for us and for all those, amen, that may hear this, and for those that hear it, maybe not from me, but from others. But the question is this, amen, have you been born again? Amen. Who's Paul addressing? He's addressing the church, the Christian, his brothers and sisters who? In Christ. And so he says, brethren. Amen. We're told in the book of John, chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. You see, salvation. We sing that song, or the little children, you know, sing that song. Maybe we sang it back in the day. I'm in the Lord's army. You know how you get in the Lord's army? Amen. You get born again. Amen. You get birth into the kingdom of God. And except a man be born again, amen, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so Paul was here speaking to the believers here at Ephesus. And I want to speak to us this morning as believers as we talk about the whole armor of God. But also, amen, if there's one that hears this that's not a believer, amen, Paul's desire was that they be converted. Our desire is that if you're not a believer, that you are converted, that you come to be brothers and sisters in the Lord. That we can put on the whole armor of God. Because to put on God's armor, we must be one of God's children. We must be in the family of God. And so it is important that we trust Christ. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So guess what? That's important. And I've mentioned it many times about the preacher that the woman asked him and said, every time I hear you preach, that's the verse you preach on. Why? He said, because you must be born again. I mean, he knew the importance of being born again. If it does not start there, amen. And God help us. There's a lot of folks in the church. I'm talking about in the church, not in God's family, but in the church that's there. Amen. And got their name on a roll that hadn't been born again. God help us. Amen. That don't get us to heaven. That don't get us into the family of God, but we must be born again. So the first question, have you been born again? Secondly, this morning, as we look here at these verses, I want to ask you a question. Have you yet to realize that you are in a war? Well, we're in a battle. The Bible says of the old devil, what's he doing this morning? The Bible tells us that the old devil, that he's going about, what's he doing? Like what? Like a lion. And what's he doing? He's looking. And he's seeking for some that he can devour. And we've all seen, you know, probably some pictures on TV of the lions or the big cats, how they get out and they hunt. And they look for those that's off to their self, those that's weak, that's sick, and they attack them if they can. We're in a battle. We are in a war. I was reading, I believe it was yesterday, might have been this morning, amen, but in the book of Proverbs, it's talking about how that bird, how he gets struck through with that dart. He don't realize that he's going, that it's for his very life. And so many this morning are unaware that it's for their very life that we preach the Word of God this morning. It's for their very life that the old enemy seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And we are in a war. We're in a battle. We're in a battle for our lives. We're in a battle for our families. We're in a battle for our communities, our churches. I mean, we're in a battle. And it's real. And it says here in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Take the whole armor of God. Take it all. Not just part of it, but take it all. Amen. Take the whole armor of God. Now, who wears armor? Amen. Well, soldiers do. Soldiers wear armor. That's who puts on the armor. Now, the armor of biblical days and the armor of modern days has changed, but amen, they still wear armor. They still have things to protect as much as they can. Who wears armor? Amen. Soldiers do. soldiers put on armor, what soldiers do? Well, we might say, well, they fight. Well, they do if called upon. But they really, that what does a soldier do? A soldier, he's at the beckoning call, amen, of his superior officers. And amen, whatever they command, that he does. Amen. They give command and he obeys and he goes and he fulfills the command of those superior officers. I thought about boot camp. Some of you've been through boot camp. What are they doing in boot camp? Amen. They're preparing you to be a soldier, to fight. You go through boot camp and you have a training, and then, amen, then they may send you out to a certain school in a certain area, and the whole time, amen, whatever it is that you are in, if you're a foot soldier or if you're somewhere along the line in support, they're training you to be that good soldier. To be ready when the battle starts and the bullets start to fly, so to speak. They're training to be good soldiers. They're molding men and women into soldiers. You know what Paul's doing here at Ephesus as he's talking to these folks here at this little church in Ephesus in this big 250,000 people where most of them don't know God, don't want to know God. Amen. Going about doing their vice and practicing sin. What's he telling them? He's trying to mold them and tell them, I want you to be a soldier. I want you to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And here's what you must do. Put on the whole armor of God. Put it on, soldiers. Amen. Wear the armor. Equip yourselves for the battle. Now here's one thing that seems to happen. You know, in today's world, we figured out, well, we know how to do certain things, and you hadn't got to take God's armor. We've got some things that we can help you deal with situations. Nah. Listen, the battle that we're in that's for our lives, the same equipment that Paul told them to put on is still the only effective armor against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil, wiles. Those cunning, devious devices that he has that tricks folks, that brings them into a place to where he gets them to do things that they think is leading them this way, then they wind up down this road. Amen. They didn't plan to wind up where they did, but they were deceived. They were fooled by the wiles of the devil and the old enemy. And the defense against that, Paul says, is the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. And so it is, we need to put on the complete armor of God, every piece, so that we might be able to stand our ground in the day of battle, and at the end of the day that we might be victors. I'm afraid that there's too many days that go by for Christians that at the end of the day we find that we've not been victorious in the fight that day. Maybe we failed in some area that we said, I'm not doing that's it. Well, I won't be caught there again. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do different. But the old devil, so to speak, he throws us a curveball. You know, we wasn't planning to wind up back there, but here we are again. And we're right back in that same place. And amen, we're defeated. Amen, we didn't have the whole armor of God on. And so too many days ends and we've suffered another defeat that we told ourselves we're not going to let happen again. We find that there seems to be battles that's just too strong for us. And amen, that's why he said put on the whole armor of God. We need God. Without him we can do nothing. With him we can do everything. He said put on the whole armor of God. Listen, or maybe it's that just we just get careless. Paul is talking to them as soldiers. And soldiers, good soldiers, are not careless. Good soldiers are not careless. And so that leads me to ask the third question here this morning, and that is this of us. Are you deliberate or careless in your Christian walk? Amen. Are we deliberate are careless in our Christian walk. The definition of deliberate means done consciously and intentionally. Careless is not giving sufficient attention or thought to avoiding harm or errors. You see, verse 11, Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, I'm going to ask you a question right here. Who got you dressed this morning? Now then, I know for some of you, I didn't ask who laid out your clothes and picked out your clothes. That wasn't what I asked. Most of us do get ourselves dressed, whether or not we pick out what we wear or not. We get ourselves dressed. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, we might just sit down, and if we've got the clothes laid out here on the bed or somewhere, and we just kind of sitting down there beside them, just looking at them, staring at them, and them clothes ain't going to put their self on. Being deliberate. You see, God said put on the whole armor of God. Everything that we need, God has supplied. And He tells us, He said, put on that whole armor of God. God's picked it out, but He tells us to put it on. And us putting it on is a deliberate action. So are we being careless? Are we deliberate in our Christian life? Which one? And I believe if we're honest with ourselves, every one of us can look back at our life and see at different times and phases of our Christian life, well, there's been some times when we've been deliberate. Amen. We didn't let things get in the way to stop us from praying, from reading. We was deliberate in our actions and what we were going to do. And then there's been other times because of different reasons where it didn't take very much to keep us from going to church. It didn't take much to keep us from praying. It didn't take very much to keep us from reading God's Word. We got careless in those things and we began to see the effects and things happen and we realized we were not the same person. Things affected us different. It was different. So are we careless or are we deliberate in our Christian walk? For sure the devil is not careless. He's daily looking to fire a dart at us that he might strike us, that he might harm us, that he might wound us. And amen, what I need to do is I need to be deliberate as well. Amen, I need to make sure, amen, that regardless of what I do during the day, I do what I know God would have me to do. I don't neglect those things that I know that is of spiritual importance because they affect my whole life. Not only my life, but they affect the lives of my loved ones and amen, my church family and my community. It matters whether I'm careless or I'm deliberate. But the fourth question this morning is, do we know who the enemy is? Do we know who the enemy is? You know, some folks think the enemy's their wife or their boss or their neighbor or their mother-in-law. You know, they think that that's who the enemy is. Or maybe there's just somebody out there that, boy, they just don't like you and they just cut it in for you. And listen, while any of these can be used to hurl a fiery dart at us and to harm us, and we do have enemies among men. When we look and we see the real conflict, where does it come from? Amen. It comes from an unseen enemy. It's not mere flesh and blood that we battle against. That's not the enemy. The enemy is the old devil, that the powers and the principalities of this world, the rulers, those things, it's the darkness of this world that war against us, that sets things in motion. And so our conflict is not with mere flesh and blood, but we have an invisible enemy this morning. We have a spiritual battle. And if it's a spiritual battle, we need to put on spiritual armor. Because fleshly armor, carnal armor, I mean, will not stop the enemy from coming in. It will not ward off those fiery darts that are hurled towards us. And so life is a real battle. But too often the actual enemy is not what we aim at. We aim at someone or something that's not the actual enemy. Amen. It's that old devil as he lurks, as he comes around. And so we're told, Paul says here, he says, put on the whole armor of God. And amen, we're fixing to stop right here. We'll pick up, Lord willing, next week right here. Because it says, my next question is, how are we to do battle with an unseen enemy? You know, there used to be some shows back on years ago about, you know, the invisible man and things of that nature, you know. And I mean, if you can't see him, what can you do? It's a spiritual battle. So how do you do battle with the unseen enemy? You put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I'm going to just ask you this morning, if you will, just to stand. I'm going to ask you, if you will, to bow your heads this morning, just in a moment of silence. Are we being careless or deliberate? Have we put on the whole armor of God? Because every one of us this morning is, we're in a battle. The old enemy walks about seeking whom he may devour. Paul told the group here, the little church here at Ephesus, small in number, but he said, you put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. As we wait just a moment this morning in silence, if you have a need this morning, I pray while we wait, you come.